Go ahead and lift up your voice, everybody in this place today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you so very much. Reading today from Luke, the 19th chapter. While you're turning to Luke chapter 19, I want to say again how privileged that we are and honored that we are to be here with you in these revival services. And looking forward to what else God wants to do. Amen. I want it all. How about you? God's got it. I want it. Amen. And that is the attitude that he is looking for. It's hard for God to do anything for anybody that doesn't want it. But it's hard for God not to do something for somebody that does. And so I want it, God. The facilitation of the miraculous is simply desire for it. Amen. I want the hand and the will, the power, the purpose, the word. Amen. Everything that God has, just want to receive it. Blessed are they, Jesus said, that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. We certainly enjoyed some good times of fellowship last night, and enjoyed getting to meet Brother Newman, and just looking forward again to something in the Holy Ghost. Let's read from Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 41. When he was come near, this is of course speaking of the Lord Jesus, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. I want you to notice the exclamation point here. This is not a casual statement. This is a statement of passion. He is looking over the city and he is weeping. Jesus Christ is emotional. He means this from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Now, God never wastes words anyway. Amen. But God in flesh, the man Christ Jesus, is weeping over Jerusalem. And he said, if you'd only known, if I could paraphrase, what you could have had, the things that belong to you, they're yours. But you're doing without them. And he said, but now they're hid from your eyes. Verse 43, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee about and keep thee in on every side. They shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. He is proclaiming destruction, not because he's gloating, he's weeping. I'm taking some time here, but I want you to see this accurately. These are words that Jesus is saying with tears in his eyes. He's saying these words with a wet face. Amen. He's saying there's some things coming that didn't have to come. There's some really awful things that's going to happen that should never happen. And he says that there's good things that belong to you, but you didn't realize it. And there's bad things that are coming because, he said, you knew not the time of thy visitation. The time of thy visitation. I've not come with criticism and judgment today. I have come with a lot of sincerity. When my eyes opened this morning, this was on my heart, and it was branded upon my spirit in prayer this morning. Amen. There is no substitute for a divine visitation. Nothing can take the place of a visitation from God. Nothing. There's nothing anyone, anywhere, anytime that they can do that can even begin to compare with the touch of God on your life. Amen. I want to recognize the time of my visitation. Jesus is looking and weeping over Jerusalem. He said, "You knew not the time of thy visitation." I want us to make this personal today. This is not about somebody else's. This is about mine. If you're speaking it for yourself, they would say, I knew not the time of my visitation. We knew not the time of our visitation. Amen. This is not about someone standing next to you. This is about you today. Amen. Somebody say, my visitation. Amen. That's what God has on his mind today. He has a visitation in mind for everybody in this place. Would you lift up your voice? Would you thank God for his goodness? Would you recognize the presence of the Lord today? I love you, Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of our God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for your help today, God. For putting your word in my mouth and confirming it with signs following.
In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated today. Lord bless you so very much. I want to direct our attention this morning to Genesis, the 12th chapter. This is the chapter that details the calling of a man that we're introduced to by the name of Abram. And God called Abram from where he was. If I could just cut to the chase today, Abram got a visitation. A visitation from God never leaves you the same. God never comes by and says, I just come by to pat you on the back and stroke your ego, and I just want you to feel better about yourself and feel better about the way that things are. God does not always come in judgment or criticism, but he always comes with improvement. Can't preach today that there was bad wrong with Abram. There was a reason why that he got a visitation, because of what was right with him. He had a righteous demeanor and attitude. He had a heart for God. And that's why God paid him a visit. And he said, you know, there's something that I can do with somebody like Abram. But there's only so much that I can do for him where he is. There's some great things I can do with this man, but not much I can do with him in his present location. But if he'll have a proper response to a divine visitation, business will certainly pick up around here. Hope I'm preaching to you right now. Bible declares that the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. He called him out, made a promise, entered into covenant. He said, Abram, look up into the heavens and tell me how many stars there are. Look under your feet and tell me how many grains of sand are on the seashore. He said, that's what I have in mind for your descendants. Oh, my Lord. Abram, this is what I see when I look at you. We understand that we're not serving just another deity. But our God calls things which be not as though they were. He was speaking to a man without children, saying, your seed is going to be like the stars in the heavens and the sea, the sand on the seashore, innumerable. Abram, that's what I see when I look at you. I don't know exactly how that made this man feel. I cannot answer for him, but I do know that again, and verse 7, as we read just a few moments ago, that God again appeared and said, I'm going to give your seed this land. And there Abram building an altar unto the Lord. It meant maybe this is just how I'm seeing it today, but I believe there was something in the heart of that man that said, I'm going to memorialize this moment. I'm gonna do something in memory of this moment. This moment did not have to happen. I'm glad that it did. I certainly don't feel like that I have arrived, but this moment, amen, deserves to be memorialized. And he builded an altar right there. Amen. There he builded an altar to the Lord who appeared unto him. Several years later, as a matter of fact, the promised child is a young man by this time, and the better part of probably 40 years or so have come and gone since Genesis chapter 12. And God says to Abraham, now I want you to take Isaac and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering unto me. There's a whole lot of details and dynamics I don't feel that I need to go into today, but Abraham was a man of faith. And he knew the promises of God. And he knew that Isaac was God's promise. And he knew the promises of God would be fulfilled through the loins of Isaac. Abraham knew that. I will say that Abraham just come to this understanding, if God lets me go through with this, God's going to raise him up. Because God's word has declared, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Amen. God calls Isaac my only begotten son. Isaac is the result of a man and a woman judging God faithful. Amen. And so if God lets Isaac die, I'm going to get to witness a resurrection. Amen. Amen. God just, amen, can do whatever he wants to do, but I know that he will never change. And he's a God of his word, and I trust him with no exception. And as they made their way up that mountain, and Isaac is looking around, and he has gone to church with his dad before. He's worshiped God with his father in the past, because he said, I'm not seeing what I normally see, Dad. I see the wood and I see the fire, but I don't see the sacrifice. Dad, this looks different this time. We've never gone to worship like this before. He was not surprised when, amen, Father Abraham turned to the servants and said, you stay here. Why, in the lad, we'll go yonder and worship. Isaac knew about the sacrifice of worship. And Father, I want to know what's going on here. I don't see the sacrifice. And amen, Abraham declared, my son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. It meant a lot of prophecy involved in that statement. It was not just a physical fulfillment of a sacrificial ram who had been caught in a thicket by his horns, but God really did provide himself. God was his own provision. He saw the prophet said that there was no mediator. He wondered that there was no man. Therefore, his own arm brought unto him salvation. Isaiah said, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And then he begins to prophesy about the root of David. He begins to say that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I'm glad I know who Jesus is today. Jesus Christ is not Jehovah Jr. Amen. Jesus declared before Abraham, well, as I am, and he that has seen me hath seen the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is God coming as a man into the world to do what no other man could do. Somebody shout hallelujah. When this moment of provision took place, when God provided the sacrifice, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. We sung about it just a little bit earlier today. My provider, Jehovah Jireh, literally means Jehovah sees. One definition says Jehovah sees to it. I'm glad I'm serving that kind of God today. God will see to it. But it's more than just a casual observation. Abraham said, we're going to call the name of this place. God visited us today, son. I don't think Abraham or Isaac, either one, had any trouble remembering that moment. I mean, a knife, amen, was up in the air about to be plunged into the torso of Isaac. God had to send an angel to stop the hand of Abraham. Now I know. And now you know. And now Isaac knows. Everybody involved knows, Abraham, that you mean business with God. Again, I'm not trying to be out of my place today, but there just comes a time when a line needs to be drawn, and we need to know that I mean business. Yeah, man, I said before the service is over, there can be some lines drawn, some declarations made, some intentions declared. This is not a casual thing with me. This is not easy come, easy go. This is not fit in with everybody else and just go through the motions. But this is a God moment. This is a moment to be memorialized. This is a divine visitation. This is a time when God comes down for himself. I feel this burning on my soul right now. Amen. I don't even know if we can even realize and comprehend the importance of where we're at right now in the presence of the Lord. Amen. The prophet said, we're going to rejoice. We're going to shout. We're going to cry out. Amen. Because Jehovah has become my salvation. When your Creator becomes your Savior. This is not the power of personality. This is a demonstration of the Spirit. This is the glory of God dwelling in the midst of men and women. I never want to be casual about the presence of the Lord. Would you lift your hands with me right now? Yay, in the name of the Lord. Amen. I don't know what you come expecting today, but I have come to declare what is on the mind of God today. God has come to visit you. I'm being intentional right now. I'm not preaching God has come to visit somebody. I'm saying God has come to visit you. Your visitation. My visitation. Yeah, man, I'm gonna be different when this service is over. Because nobody can get into God's presence and stay the same. You can't ever spend time with God and not be better. Amen. You can't get into the presence of the Lord and stay the same. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. No doubt as I preach about moments with God, maybe your mind goes back in memories that we have of memorial moments. Oh, I could get emotional real easy right about now. Remembering memorial moments with God. Yeah, man, I understand full well that memorial moments don't happen every day, but they can be remembered every day. I said they don't happen every day. I could, yeah, man, just true. I mean, sure enough, I'm not just talking about a good feeling at church. I'm talking about memorial moments. I'm talking about life-changing moments, ministry-altering moments. I'm talking about Holy Ghost promotion moments. I'm talking about God's coming by and saying, all right, amen, that's good, amen, up until now, but now something's different. I've got plans for you. I'm talking about those kind of moments. I don't know, maybe a handful in my little over 50 years of living. I don't know. I don't want to, amen, be out of the way at all right now, but amen, but moments that don't happen every day. Maybe not every year. Maybe not even every decade. But every day that I live, I can remember God visited me. He gave me that dream. He sent me that word. He gave me that promise. Memorial moments. Oh, let's love the Lord here right now. Oh, ikata lo boshika tori ando moho shandai. In Jesus' name. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. I believe I'm in my place today when I present to you that there was a memorial moment trying to happen in Acts 24. As the Apostle Paul reasoned with Felix of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He reasoned with a man headed the wrong direction in life. A man of success in politics and business, but a man of failure in the spirit. A man lost and undone without God. And Paul reasoned with this man. Of righteousness, living right. There's nothing wrong with righteousness. righteousness is always the right thing. Doing things right. Not according to my opinion or perspective, but right with God. He reasoned with this man of righteousness and temperance. Felix, you're out of balance. Too many wrong things are important to you. You've got too many ungodly ambitions. There's some things that you need to rein in, sir. And Paul reasoned with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Felix, if you don't change, it's not going to be good, sir. Felix, you better wake up before it's too late. You've got an appointment with God, sir. You say, don't be negative in the pulpit. I'm not being negative. I'm being real. Righteousness is right. Temperance is right. And God's judgment is right. The Bible said that Felix trembled. Felix was under the influence of the anointing. There was a real man of God being real with this man. And this man trembled and answered. And he said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Not my spirit's troubled. Amen. I feel a witness of the Holy Ghost just talking about it. I'm telling you, this is the day, and now is the time. What I'm talking about is not about tomorrow. It's about today. Felix, there is a visitation from God with your name on it. But you don't decide when it happens. God says, I'm here. Now it's time to respond. God sends his word. It's time to do right with what God is doing. I'm telling you, if I know anything about what I feel, somebody's hearing from God right now. This is not just a preacher preaching the word. I feel like I'm speaking on God's behalf. Not just because I'm preaching out of this book, but I believe I'm being divinely inspired. There's a reason for what came into my mind and my spirit before the sun come up this morning. There's a reason for the burden that fell on me in prayer. Amen. Later on, there's a reason for the anointing that I feel as I deliver my heart right now. Don't put it off. Don't postpone your response. Somebody follow in the footsteps of Abram and say, it's time to build me an altar. It's time to make a declaration. It's time to memorialize this moment. This is a place to come back to. This is a place to remember. This is a moment to memorialize. This is my visitation. This is how God does good things for me. This is how judgment is averted. This is how I get the good and reject the bad. This is how I promote and facilitate the positive. This is how I keep destruction away. I recognize the time of my visitation. Somebody lift up your voice. I'm asking everybody to put forth an effort right now. I've not come in condemnation. I've not come to hang anybody over hell today. I've just come by to tell you Jesus is here. And I think you recognize it. Anybody with any sense in your soul, come on, if you feel the Holy Ghost begin to hover over your spirit, why don't you be receptive of it? In the name of Jesus, I'm asking everybody to pray right now. I'm barely even out of my introduction, but I'm telling you the Holy Ghost has stepped into the sanctuary. Your Creator. Somebody can have a moment today with God. Come on, somebody, my visitation. Don't be like Agrippa and say, "Preacher, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Come on, I'm beseeching you in the name of the Lord. Don't be almost persuaded. Don't almost respond. Don't almost pray. Don't almost reach out. Don't almost try. Oh no, this is too important for almost. This moment means too much for almost. Amen, I'm going all the way. It's not almost, it's all together. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. While it is called today. While you still have a chance. While the Holy Ghost is moving on you. While the glory of God is hovering over your spirit. While the hand of God is reaching out for you. Come on today, while it is called, it's not about tomorrow, it's not about yesterday, it's about today, sir. Abraham, amen, build an altar today. Abraham, call it Jehovah Jireh today. Jacob, amen, anoint that pillar today. Call it Bethel today.